You're listening to episode 15 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I wanted to start this week's show off by congratulating a friend of the show's. On Twitter, his handle is Dribbleglass, and his blog, The Pulse of Vegas, was voted both the People's Choice and the Editor's Choice as most valuable blog of 2011 by CBS Las Vegas.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Well done, sir. Yes, we enjoy your blog, and we actually have a story this week that we took from it, so...
We absolutely do.
Our listeners, whether they realize it or not, appreciate you as well.
Oh, they will. They just don't know it yet.
Right. So, yeah, well done, Dribble Glass.
And it is time for Random Vegas.
All right. Despite the worst economy for gambling on record, casinos attracted a record 62 million visitors in 2009. That's about 28% of the U.S. population.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And I also had something. We had spoke last week about One Oak. We were trying to figure out if it stood for anything.
Yeah, and we were both kind of wondering that.
Yeah, a listener followed up with us to let us know that One Oak stands for one of a kind.
I guess that would make sense, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's clever or stupid yet.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I was curious about that.
Yeah, so there you go. Twofer. You got a twofer in Random Vegas this week.
Again, welcome back. This is episode 15 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. As with you, as always, is myself, Brian, and my awesome co-host, Mark.
Hello.
And for our show, we're going to start off with our Vegas Mate review of the week.
This one comes to us from John R's September 14th review of Viva Elvis at Aria. He gave it 5 out of 5 chips, and FYI, the person he's talking about is me.
Yeah, I was taking a look at that when I was reviewing it, the notes for this week, and I saw that he was directly referencing yours. So.
Yes, so why don't you share that with us?
I will. It's kind of a long-winded review, but I will try to get through it expeditiously. I thought the show was great. Actually, he said, I thought the show was great, but I'm just going to assume he meant thought.
That's good.
I think the last reviewer, Mark, was a bit harsh on the cast. You have to understand that the show is filled with very talented people. Some are singers, some are dancers, some are musicians, and many are the acrobats who have all trained hard to do what they specialize in. In a Cirque show, and I've seen them all, these performers are asked to fill many roles. So in many of the dance scenes that involve many people, most are the same guys you saw on the trampolines or doing amazing aerial acrobatics, etc. They are not the professional dancers. They finish their act and rush off stage to put on another costume, quickly, hence the plastic headpieces and jumpsuits for many of the Elvis impersonators, and then have to do their best to match the pro dancers while still exhausted from the acts they just finished. It is a physically demanding show for them, and I applaud them. So, it is a first a Cirque show, and then a tribute to Elvis, not the other way around. If you want complete reverence to the king, then watch the Biography Channel. All I have to say is great show, great acrobats, great singers, great musicians, and amazing, amazing set. Oh yeah, great music from Elvis.
Yeah, initially when I read that, I just wanted to unload on him. And then I thought better of it, and I'm like, that's what's great about Rate Vegas, is you can get my point of view on it, and then you can get the exact opposite point of view, and, you know, somewhere in between is more than likely the truth, which is why the more reviews you can get on there, the better. But the one thing I did want to address in that is he referenced how a lot of the acrobats will come out and then later be dancers and whatnot. My only retort to that is I didn't see the kind of lack of enthusiasm or energy when I saw Beatles Love. So that was the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I addressed, because that was Bush League.
So that is our Vegas Mate Review of the Week again. Sorry, it was kind of long-winded, and there was a few grammatical and spelling items there, so I apologize if I stumbled over it. I promise I can read. So. And now it is on to the Twit Pick of the Week winner.
This week's winning pick came to us from a listener in Australia, and he's a new member to the Twitter community, at MIFO34, that's MIFFO34. It's a picture of the Vegas Strip taken from the South Crosswalk in between MGM and New York, New York. How he got this picture without including the dirty, smudged, and nicked up plexiglass that all the pictures I take from the same place have, I am dying to know. But the picture gives you a great look at a cloudless Vegas sky while grabbing a little bit of several Vegas properties. He did a really good job of capturing what you actually see from that vantage point, not what your camera captures. It's a great picture. We're thrilled to add it to our collection of Twit Picks of the Week. And as always, we'll make sure to link to that on the blog. We'll put it on our Flickr page, and it will be featured on the enhanced version of our podcast.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if you're aware, and I don't know if you made it down there last time, but actually the crosswalk there is actually like it's like a chain link fence. So like I know I took a couple pictures, and I was able just to kind of sneak my viewfinder right in between the chain links.
Oh, there you go. I don't think I realized that. I don't know if it's changed or perhaps
it's probably
I just
changed,
don't recall.
Yeah. It's fresh in my mind because I just stayed at both of those properties.
Well, there you go. I like the idea of the chain stuff. I mean, that gave a much better picture.
Yeah, yeah. You can totally disregard that in your photo.
So, right. Well, thank you for that.
Yep. And congratulations, MIFO34. That's awesome.
Yes. Welcome to Twitter.
And now on to our new segment. First piece of news this week is the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic.
Yeah, we're kind of behind on this. They've been announcing details for quite some time. I was just waiting for the majority of all the information to be collected. So, all right, so the Vegas Internet Mafia Picnic came about when Hunter and the folks at Vegas Gang were unable to get together another Vegas Podcastapalooza. So they decided to come up with this idea where we can still all kind of get together and they're going to record a live show, and it's really just an excuse to get together with your favorite Vegas internet personalities and have a bunch of fun. It's going to be held at Planet Hollywood this year on October 22nd. Show's going to start at 3 p.m. The activities are going to include a live recording of the Vegas Gang with a special guest, Stump Dr. Dave, the mad genius and living encyclopedia of Vegas knowledge. They're going to have Match Game Vegas Tripping Edition and tons of other stuff. We're going to have a link on the blog, of course, to all the details, including room rates offers that they have. So, regrettably, we're not going to be able to attend it, but it sounds like it's going to be a great time, and we're really looking forward to hearing back about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how that goes, too. Next piece of news is a little bit different for us. This is the first time we're actually discussing a new slot machine. So, this is the Ghostbuster slot. Mark, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
IGT has rolled out the new Ghostbuster slot machine, featuring real voiceovers by Dan Aykroyd, or at least somebody who sounds exactly like him. It's a 50 credits per spin game, 30 pay lines with a 20 credit side bet, and the bonus games include the Ballroom Buster, where you get to use your Proton Pack to find ghosts. There's also the free games bonus, where the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man throws flaming marshmallows at the screen.
And if amazing.
And if they stick to the reels, you get locking bonuses. And then the one that I thought was the most interesting is the Are You Psychic bonus that lets you pick which card has the matching symbol to get credit to advance to the next round, a la the Dr. Venkman's study on how negative reinforcement affects psychic ability. So, the game is displayed on a 55-inch LCD positioned over the two stations, the two game stations, and it has the surround sound seats.
So, it's a lot like the Star Wars Droid Hunt, which is a pretty awesome game.
Yeah, yeah. We're hoping we're going to be able to bring information like this a little more regularly. A listener that we're actually going to read some feedback from later in the show, he suggested that we try and fold this into the current incarnation of the show, and ever since then we've been doing some research to try and figure out how we could best do that, because we thought it was a great idea. So hopefully you enjoyed it. If not, or if you did, let us know. And
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
We've also got some Margaritaville casino pictures from the Pulse of Vegas blog.
Yeah, USA Today had an exclusive first look at the renderings of the interior of the Margaritaville casino, which inspired a detailed follow-up by Hera's Pulse of Vegas blog. Now, the casino is set to open October 1st. It's going to have 15,000 square feet of gaming space, 22 table games, and 220 slot machines. The centerpiece of the casino will be the It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere Bar. They're going to have grand opening street parties that are going to be scheduled October 15th and the 22nd, not surprisingly, at the same time that Jimmy Buffett will be performing in concert at the MGM. What are your thoughts about this? Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think it looks a lot like the restaurants.
Agreed, yeah, yeah.
It's cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. I mean, I'm okay with it, but it looks like a fun place.
A lot of people were kind of ripping on how tacky this looks, but you know what? There's enough high-end in Vegas. Why not have a little bit of tack? We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
So the carpet tends to look like water, at least I thought. The ceiling looks like sky. And if I didn't know that they would be playing Jimmy Buffett music all the time, I might actually play there. But for those of you who are Jimmy Buffett fans, I really think you're going to love this place. It's, you know what it kind of reminded me a little bit of? SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like the Bikini Bottom Casino.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love SpongeBob, so.
Who doesn't love SpongeBob? Yeah. I defy any of you to say you don't love SpongeBob, and I will call you a liar.
That's it for the Margaritaville Casino. Check out our blog for some pictures if you'd like to take a look at that.
Yep.
You can make your own basis of comparison.
That's right.
You've got some Octavius Tower details from over at the Caesars Palace Resort.
Vegas Inc. gave us a couple of details. The tower is going to have 668 rooms, which will include 60 suites and 6 luxury villas. Now, the basic room is going to be 550 square feet. It's going to have a separate lobby from the rest of Caesars and direct access to the Garden of the Gods pool. Hmm. Now, the in-room technology will allow guests to communicate with room service, housekeeping, and the front desk via iPad and iTouch devices. That's pretty cool.
I think it's really cool. And, I mean, more and more places are starting to use mobile devices for things like that. And why not?
Yeah, I don't know if I told you this. When we checked in at Cosmopolitan, I had to sign my name via an iPad that was built into the front desk.
You did say that, yeah, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And in some other news, the Maloof name was removed from the Palms.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. We got this from Vegas Tripping, and it appears that the Palms is being de-Maloofed. Now, the Palms signage and the logos have always stated that the Palms is, quote, a Maloof casino resort. Now, in light of their recent buyout from the Texas Pacific Group that left the Maloof family owning only 2% of the property, apparently the majority owners didn't find it appropriate to continue advertising that the Palms was a Maloof company. So, it has been reported that they have refelted the majority of their gaming tables minus that specific line. And currently, the marquee still displays the byline, but we'll keep an eye on that to see if they decide to go as far as removing it from there. But kind of a sad state of affairs. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you know, I mean, 2% of the property, you know, it was bound to happen, really.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps their Texas Pacific Group is just kind of like, now we're just false advertising at this point.
It's like I said, I agree with you. I think it's kind of a bummer, but to be very frank about this, they're lucky they still have the 2%.
Yeah, yes, they are.
Really?
Yep.
So, that is it for that. Moving on, M Life, non-gaming tier credits.
Yeah, MGM will soon be offering Players Club members the chance to earn tier credits for non-gaming spending. Yeah, welcome to the fucking party. What the hell? I just don't understand. If I haven't made it clear before, I want to make it clear right now. I don't like bagging on any property in Las Vegas. I love them all. They all have their own place in my heart, whether it be, you know, Imperial Palace or, you know, Encore. I mean, I have a special place for every place in Las Vegas, every property casino in Las Vegas. But it just seems like they are baiting us to rip on them. I don't get it. I mean,
yeah, lately it's been a one clusterfuck after another.
I just don't get it. I mean, look, Caesars Entertainment has been doing the non-gaming tier credits for about 2 years, and Cosmopolitan did it since they opened. So now, of course, MGM has to find a way to fumble the ball even on this transition. I mean, while you can get tier credits for the spending you do, you know, from your room, dining, entertainment, anything you purchase in their retail shops does not apply. Now, that may sound tiny, but it's nickel and dime, and we're talking a place that automatically has a mathematical advantage over everything that you do in Las Vegas. I don't understand why you skip something as trivial as this.
Yeah. Yep, I agree, especially since all the competitor properties are, they've been doing it for a while.
Well, and let's not forget that MGM is the largest company that still right. charges resort fees.
Yep.
I mean, in their defense, you know, Venetian and Wynn are also fucking people over with that, but it's just, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
And staying on MGM, they're having some more structural issues.
All right, so apparently the Harmon could collapse. Veer and Mandarin needed fixed to make them structurally sound while they were in the midst of construction. And now the Luxor is apparently sinking, which has caused some cracking in their infrastructure. Now, MGM says that this has happened over a long period of time, but it took county inspectors to identify it before MGM addressed and acknowledged it.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Now, in their defense, MGM can't really be blamed for this because Mandalay Group, or Circus Circus as they were known at the time, they were the ones that actually built this property. And you would have hoped that MGM's engineer inspected the place before they bought it, but who knows? Apparently the ground in that area of South Strip is known for having these kind of problems. During construction of Mandalay Bay, they discovered the elevator shaft was sinking a half an inch per week, and they had to have a 350-ton hydraulic jack installed under the foundation to fix the problem from continuing. What the fuck kind of ground are they on down there?
Yeah. You know, it's not a good idea, and I'm not sure. Maybe they teach this in engineering school. I could be mistaken, but you don't build stuff on quicksand.
Right.
you just don't.
We are rookies. We don't know. We're pulling it. We're grasping at straws here, but I would assume that that's part of the education therein of Architecture 101.
Yeah, sinkholes, quicksand, you stay away from those.
You know what's interesting to me is that the Hacienda was down there for quite some time, and I don't recall hearing that they were sinking. I wonder if the Hacienda wasn't nearly as heavy as the, you know, the latest incarnations of buildings, or how that worked. That's interesting. Yeah.
You'd think they'd survey the land a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe it's been years, so who knows.
I like I said, I really feel bad. We are just bagging on MGM constantly, but we're only reporting and sharing our true and honest opinion. I mean, if MGM starts doing awesome stuff, well, hell, we've been accused of sucking Monte Carlo's dick as much as we report on all the things that we like about them. But so it's not like we're tanking. You know what? I'm not even going to keep doing this. You all know how we feel about this. MGM, come on, step it up.
Yeah, and I stayed at MGM Properties last time.
You're better than that, MGM.
Yeah, we expect better.
That's right.
We deserve better.
Yes, we do, Brian. We deserve it. I don't know why that amuses me so much. Like, we deserve it. We work hard. All right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I always talk about how I'm, like, anti-resort fee, yet I just stayed at MGM and New York
yeah, but
resort fees. But that's all I paid for. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, anyways, Golden Gate is expanding.
Who saw this coming?
I certainly didn't.
No. So, the Review Journal and Vegas Tripping both gave us a bunch of information regarding the proposed expansion of the Golden Gate. Now, Golden Gate filed plans with the city to extend the property back from the existing building, replacing the parking lot that's currently there. They are planning on adding a 5-story building. It's going to have 30,000 square feet. About 4,000 of that's going to go to casino space, and the rest is going to go to new dining. 16 new suites, including two that will be 1,600 square feet and on the top floor of the new lobby. Now, the total cost is estimated at about
1,600. Wow.
Yeah, check that out. I guess even they have high rollers down at Golden Gate.
Mm.
I wonder how much that would cost. Something like that would be pimp to pull off something like that to stay in like the ultra high suite at, you know, a low end property like Golden Gate. That'd be cool.
The best of the worst.
The best of the worst. That's right. Although we're not saying Golden Gate's the worst. I mean, clearly the Vegas Club across the street is more than likely the worst. But
yes,
Golden Gate's expansion is going to be an estimated $12 million, and the owners are hoping to have the casino portion complete in March and the rest by May of 2012. And while the construction will require the resort's only dining option to be temporarily closed, the property does promise that its signature shrimp cocktail will still be available.
Shrimp cocktail.
That's right. Well, they're famous for it, Brian.
Now, that area is currently a parking lot, right?
Where they're looking to expand, correct. Yeah, it's behind the current property. Now, the Golden Gate is the oldest resort on Fremont Street. It originally opened in 1906 as the Hotel Nevada. Now, if this is approved, it will be the fifth major renovation on Fremont Street since the Great Recession. Golden Nugget added a tower. El Cortez added a tower. The Gold Spike did a complete renovation, and we've already reported on what Plaza's been doing. Now, year-to-date gambling revenue is up 1.1%, and it showed a 10.2% jump in July.
It's kind of exciting to see Fremont Street showing some growth and some expansion.
Absolutely. We've talked about how we really like Fremont Street. I don't like how far it is, but I like that when you're in Vegas, you have two very different experiences that you can enjoy. You've got the Strip, and then you've got Fremont Street, and that's classic old gritty Vegas. You're having a shitty time at one place. You literally walk across the street, takes you all of 20 seconds, and you're in a new casino.
Yep.
And all that lovely, lovely neon.
Oh, yeah. It's what Vegas was known for back in the day.
Absolutely. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I did. And then our next piece of news, the Las Vegas Hilton receives a foreclosure notice.
Yeah, Vegas Inc. let us know about this. The Hilton received a notice on September 2nd, but that doesn't really mean much in Nevada because a foreclosing party needs to have a gambling-licensed party lined up to maintain operations should they actually foreclose. The property's been in default for months now. They started skipping monthly payments of $3.5 million on their $252 million loan to conserve money for operational expenses. Now, this is the second time that the property has been foreclosed on in 2 years, and it's still running. So
this doesn't really mean much, but...
No, not much at all, other than... I wonder if this is just going through the motions. Like, seriously, guys, you have to pay us now. Mm-hmm. Or if this helps in bankruptcy proceedings, or who knows. I mean, Hilton's just been a collection of bad things lately with... You know, the Hilton actually saying that they're going to take the name away, and now their lender, you know, threatening to foreclose.
Well, let's be real. $3.5 million, that's a lot in itself. And then when you're missing, like, three payments, it's not like, you know, your normal house mortgage where you're like, oh, you know, I haven't paid in a couple months. It's a couple thousand dollars. No, no, no. We're talking about a lot of money.
Yeah. So Hilton continuing to be in trouble.
Yep. In other news, Sam Nazarian responds to Vegas tripping.
How crazy is this? It was reported this week that SBE acquired the mortgage debt of Sahara, which would give them complete freedom to do whatever it is that they wanted to do on that property. Then it was announced that Sam Nazarian retained the services of Gensler Architects, the people who oversaw the planning of City Center, to discuss plans for renovating the Sahara. Now, in classic Vegas tripping satire, Chuck speculated that this was just another smokescreen by Nazarian to give the impression that he actually has plans of doing anything with the Sahara other than letting it sit there for years and years until somebody decides to purchase it from them. Now, the following day, a person with the handle Sam Nazarian posted a response, quote, "Well, I have to say that I have finally submitted to responding to your hilarious blogs and rather intelligent perspectives. I hope we can share a coffee one day soon and talk Vegas."
Oh, so he wants to have coffee. One coffee, two straws.
That's right.
That's cute.
Yeah. Now, Chuck did a little bit of research and discovered that the IP address, as well as the email address attached, all link back to SBE headquarters in Los Angeles. So Chuck has since submitted a formal email and is waiting for a response. What do you think of the CEO of a major company responding to Vegas tripping?
I guess it's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they're actually paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, and Vegas tripping has been long neglected as far as getting the proper credit that they deserve. I mean, Chuck and the rest of the gang at Vegas Tripping, they break Vegas stories all the time. It's one of the reasons they're one of the main sources of information for this show and almost every Vegas podcast. But for some reason, mainstream media refuses to acknowledge them as the equivalent of any other journalistic outlet. I mean, they don't seem to respect them the same way they do television, newspapers, and, I mean, let's be honest, that's bullshit. Vegas tripping is on the forefront of Las Vegas news, and I think this is just one step closer to finally being acknowledged when the CEO of a company knows you've been bagging on him constantly and finally tries to, I don't know if he's trying to kiss his ass or give him an exclusive or what the deal is, but I thought it was really cool.
You know, anything that's on Vegas tripping, we certainly look forward to having on the show if it's of interest to us or if it's of some sort of importance. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Only good things really can come out of that.
Yep.
And in our final piece of news for this week, Rio repel for Special Olympics.
Okay, so for a $1,000 donation to the Special Olympics, you can rappel down the side of the Rio from the 51st floor. I would totally do that.
Like sponsor your rappel down?
Yeah, and you can actually do that. Now, only the first 100 people who sign up for it get to participate, and you can solicit donations to reach the minimum of 1,000. There is no age limit, and you must weigh between 110 and 300 pounds. They don't want you going crashing through one of those fucking windows.
Or not being heavy enough to move down it.
I know, right? You just dangle in the wind.
The wind blows through, and you see them just kind of wrapping around the side of the building.
Right. And then that story ends up taking a really dark turn as the rappel rope starts to tangle itself around your neck, and then all of a sudden it's on the news as man strangled trying to save Special Olympics.
Oh, God.
Man becomes a participant in Special Olympics while trying to support Special Olympics.
Oh, no, no, no. What a disaster that would be.
That was so inappropriate, and I apologize for anyone who I may have offended with that.
Hopefully you laughed, Ted. We don't mean any harm.
Yeah, obviously not. I mean, let's be honest, that would be kind of... we're moving on.
Yep, that's enough about that.
That is
enough.
If
you want details and prize information and shit like that, you can check out our blog for a link.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Would you do something like that? Like, say, let's just say they offered it to you. Would you do something like that?
I would want to, but I'm too much of a chicken shit to do it.
Really?
I know you would do it because you're a little bit more of an extremist than I am.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know you would. But yeah, I would do a lot of other dangerous things, but that's not one of them. So that's going to do it for our news. And now we have a special prop bet segment.
Yeah, this is just some news that we don't really have a whole lot to comment on, but I thought it was worthwhile sharing.
Yeah. First of which being the Sahara liquidated.
Yeah. September 4th marked the official end of the liquidation sale at Sahara. Now all eyes are going to be on the property to see if renovations, demolition, or absolutely nothing takes place on that site.
The Plaza also has a new website.
Yeah, they've got some good pictures of the renovations as well as the rooms and details on all the new dining and entertainment options. It's really cool. I'd check it out. And apparently there's something in the water at Mirage, Brian.
Yeah, the Dolphins are getting it on at the Mirage.
Hardcore.
Yes, they are. They're getting railed to be... last week, they welcomed their second baby dolphin to the property this year. And next is the mob experience at Tropicana is getting sued.
Yeah, they're getting sued by a lot of people. Multiple suits have been filed, and the most recently being from the contractor who helped to build the mob experience at Tropicana. They're claiming that they are owed $891,000 for work done on the project. So this doesn't bode well for a... attraction that just closed down for renovations.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
and Palms is still hiring.
Yeah, IT tech, beverage manager, front desk. We got a link on the blog. You can apply online.
And in this last piece from our prop bed segment, we got some answers to some questions we had in our previous show, and that is Barry Manilow is moving to Harrah's.
Yeah, his final performance is going to be at Paris, which will be December 11th. He's going to be replaced by Jersey Boys. There's no information on when his first show at Harrah's will be, but what do you think of that? Barry Manilow going to Harrah's. I mean, that's a lot of people think of Harrah's as you know, the lower end as far as entertainment goes. I mean, now Rita Rudner was there for a long time, and now she's at the Venetian, so I don't know if it's really fair to say that, but I don't know. Barry Manilow going to Harrah's.
Now he's staying loyal to Caesars Entertainment.
There you go.
Take his business elsewhere.
That's right.
Like Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for prop bets. Let's move on to Playing Vegas. Now, Playing Vegas, of course, is the portion of our show where we discuss upcoming acts and performances for the next week.
Starting Monday, the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan's Dive-In Movie is Empire Records. The doors will open at 7 p.m. Snacks and drinks are available for purchase, and admission is free, but it does require an RSVP, which we will link to on the blog.
Indeed. On Thursday through Saturday, Dave Foley is going to be performing at Playboy Comedy Club at Palms. That show is going to begin at 10 p.m. with an additional show at 8 p.m. on Saturday, and those tickets will range from $47 to $68.
Friday and Saturday, the iHeartRadio Music Festival is at MGM Grand. That show starts at 7:30. The tickets run $45 to $290. And Jay Leno is at the Mirage. His show is going to start at 10 p.m., and tickets run $80 to $127.
A note for Saturday, the Stone Temple Pilots show has been postponed. A new date will be announced in the future. Tickets that you did purchase for the previously scheduled show are either be honored at that future date or will be refunded. And then also for Saturday, Styx and REO Speedwagon will be at the Joint at Hard Rock. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets will range from $36 to $76.
And lastly, Saturday and Sunday, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is at the Orleans. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. and the tickets run $22 to $44.
That's going to wrap up Playing Vegas. Now on to the jackpot segment. Our jackpot segment, of course, is any and all Twitter-reported jackpots coming from the properties themselves directly. And for Monday, September 12th, Palms reported five jackpots, four at $20,000 apiece, and one for $10,000 on... Oh, the Palms wants in on the name of the game.
You know what, and this I actually believe. They've never not replied to me before, so I do... really believe that they want to include.
We hope anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going to say anyways, and I don't care if they decide to argue it. You're wrong.
I think, I don't know, I'm kind of conflicted about this because when I was looking at this, preparing for the show, I wasn't sure if I wanted you to be kind of tasteful or not, since it's the Palms.
I don't think it's your choice.
No, I don't think it is, but I was I was contemplating counseling
counseling me. And I will say one thing, Palms, you're not getting five of them, okay? You're not getting five of them, because in Name the Game I get to invent all the rules, and in this rule, for some odd reason, all five of these jackpots were won from the same game. You were not
as to be expected.
Yeah, you are not taking all five of these. So the game that all these jackpots were won on is the Make It Rain Keno. This game wasn't actually that popular. They thought it would be really exciting to have the jackpots dispensed from the top of the machine and then use a fan to help project the money into the air. But, I mean, you can see the logistical issues with that. So I'm really surprised that Palm still has these in effect.
Yeah, me too. Because the coins back in the day when they were still all coin-operated, the coins would cause a lot of injuries,
from what
I understand.
Yes, it did.
The coins were literally being forcefully rained upon the player's head and face.
That's right. So, really surprised, but thanks for reporting that to us, Palms.
You jackasses. Also, for Monday, September 12th, Riviera reported a $5,609 jackpot on a $1 double-double bonus poker machine.
On Wednesday, September 14th, Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
And Monte Carlo reported a $23,174 jackpot on a penny Power Strike machine. Wow, nice payout on a penny machine.
Well done.
Lucky fucks.
And then on Thursday, September 15th, Planet Hollywood reported an $11,964 jackpot on a double jackpot reel slot.
For Friday, September 16th, Paris reported a $10,726 jackpot on a $1 Blazing Sevens machine.
And also on Friday, Stratosphere reported a $214,123.03 jackpot on a progressive Pai Gow poker when the player received a royal flush. You know, well done, Stratosphere. They've been kind of getting bagged on for having a lot of low-end jackpots, even though they're frequent. They just aren't a lot of... it's not as significant as the majority of other properties, but there's a big fuck you from Stratosphere to everybody who's been giving them shit.
Yeah, that's a giant finger.
That's right.
Yep. And finally, for jackpot, Saturday, September 17th, the Palms reported an $80,000 jackpot on a triple-double bonus machine, as well as a $10,000 jackpot on a Deuces Wild game.
And then we'll go to the leaderboard. And the number one spot is Palms. They've reported 10 jackpots for $210,000.
And the number two position is Stratosphere with six jackpots. Totals coming in just over $260,000.
And in third place, Riviera has reported four jackpots for $28,205 in jackpots.
Yeah. So we're getting a few more. It's still not what it was, but I'm hoping the jackpot segment redeems itself here, because
yes.
Twitter's been kind of dead with jackpots lately. But.
Yeah, I'm wondering. See, one of the things that I always thought was interesting when we decided to do the jackpot segment was I wanted to be able to look at these statistically over an extended period of time, and I wonder if we aren't going to be able to help our listeners to understand when Vegas seems to be luckier or looser, you know, on their machines, because I mean, during the summer, I mean, it got pretty pretty hefty in the jackpots being reported, and it does seem to go through these periods where it's just anemic. So I'm really interested to see over the long haul, you know, once I can look at these numbers that to see if there's any kind of patterns.
And I would like to insert a little side note here is that we all love when it's loose. So that's going to do it for jackpots. Now on to our Vegas deal segment. Vegas deals, very plain and simple, is different ways you can save money in Vegas. And the first item for this week is Circus Circus has three bars that offer 2-for-1 drink specials every day, as well as $1 hot dogs during pro football games. Rock and Rita's Sports Bar and Bus Bar are places that honor this deal.
Yeah. Fremont is offering free Wednesdays with a 3-night minimum stay. The offer is available November 1st through December 26th. And we got this from Facebook. So, see, we're trying to incorporate Facebook into the show.
Absolutely. And finally, for Vegas deals this week, Ellis Island is offering $1 20-ounce craft beers, tacos, hot dogs, and 5 wings, all for $1 each during Monday night football.
That's pretty sweet.
That's it for Vegas deals. On to coming attractions. Coming attractions is the portion of our show where we discuss musical acts, performances from comedians, et cetera, in the future beyond the week. So first one is Stevie Nicks, who is going to be coming to the Joint at Hard Rock Saturday, October 15th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets will range from $45.50 to $131.
Sinbad is coming to the Orleans Saturday and Sunday, November 5th through the 6th. His show is going to start at 8 p.m. and those tickets run $55 to $77.
Las Vegas Advisor informed us this week that Gladys Knight is extending her run through the end of the year at the Tropicana, and Jabberwocky's residency has been extended at Monte Carlo through the spring of 2012.
Good news.
Yeah, that is good news.
You know what's interesting about that is that...
What's interesting about that, Mark?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Brian, what's interesting about that. The more I hear George Wallace say anything, the more I realize he is just a compulsive liar, because George Wallace had tried, or I guess quasi-broke a story on the Strip podcast when they were interviewing him last time, that Gladys was having trouble with her throat again and was possibly going to have to end her her residency there. And now she's extending. So I swear that guy just doesn't ever tell the truth. I think it's part of his whole shtick as a comedian. I know that part of his show, he's like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, anybody in the audience, wherever you say you live, oh, yeah, I live in Portugal. Oh, I was just there last night. So I don't know if George finds lying funny, but I don't, George. I don't.
No, we don't. We don't appreciate it either.
I don't.
A-hole. anyways.
Yeah, anyways. Michael Jordan's Celebrity Golf Invitational will be at Shadow Creek next year, March 29th through April 1st. It will be a foursome next year. Expect room packages at Aria to be announced at some point. We'll bring those to you when we get them.
Absolutely. Next up is Blackstar. That's Mos Def and Talib Kweli. They canceled their Tuesday, September 13th show, which was last week, and it has the 29th. Tickets purchased for the 9/13 show will be honored, and that show is going to start at 8 p.m., and they will be $50.
You know, those are the first two cancelings we've had since we've been doing this show.
Curious.
And yeah, curious that they happen so closely to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
All right, Janet Jackson is returning to the Coliseum Saturday and Sunday, November 26th through the 27th. Her show is going to start at 9 p.m., and the tickets run $75 to $195.
Led Zeppelin 2 is performing at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay on Tuesday, November 8th. That show is going to start at 6:30, and tickets will be $29.
311 is coming to the MGM Grand next year for a 2-day concert. It's going to be Thursday and Friday, March 10th to the 11th. And the show, they haven't decided when it's going to start, but the tickets are going to run $102 to $105. No, seeing that it's at MGM, it's probably going to be like $8.
Yeah, right. Seems pretty common.
Yeah.
And finally, Andre Agassi's Grand Slam for Children benefit. That's going to be October 29th at Wynn. Guests will include Michael Bublé, Jimmy Kimmel, Martina McBride, Train, and more. If you would like to support this cause, all you need is a minimum of $5,000.
$5,000? What? Yep, we're going.
It. Absolutely. I think we could pool the money together.
Why not? Send your donations to...
right, right.
And we'll report how lame and out of place we felt at it.
Yeah, absolutely. With my jean short, my cut-off jean shorts and Crocs.
Oh, please.
I want to, for the record, that was for Rob specifically. I do not own a pair of cut-off jean shorts, or nor do I have a pair of Crocs. So Apparently, since I live in Florida, I should have both of those items.
Apparently, according to Rob. If you're actually interested or just want to be amused at how much you need to spend...
We'll have a link. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a link to the invitation.
Yeah. That's it for Coming Attractions. Welcome to the bonus round. This is a chance for us to bring you...
Is that like a question? Welcome to the bonus round? Where are we?
Who are you people?
I know. What's going on here?
Why am I talking to my computer?
The end of the show was supposed to have been. Why are we here?
Go home. Like Ferris Bueller, the end of
right.
Ferris Bueller?
What are you still doing here? It's over.
Okay. Go home. Okay. Welcome to the bonus round. This is a chance for us to bring you some additional Vegas content and not part of the normal show. It usually will be focused on the people and properties and history that shaped Las Vegas, but it can really be anything. And just like a bonus round in a slot machine, these will be sporadic. For today, we have some listener feedback. We always encourage you guys to reach out to us if you've got anything to say, and as promised, we will read them here on the show. So, and the first is one of our listeners, Andrew from Australia, who's also our TwitPick of the Week winner.
Yeah.
He wrote us a really nice Facebook message, wanted to read just a small part of it here. You were talking about increased international tourism in Las Vegas, and one of the countries mentioned on the episode 5 of the podcast was Australia. You were looking for reasons, and the only reason is that for the first time in a long time, the Aussie dollar is arse-raping the U.S. dollar. It's fantastic for us right now at the moment. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would love to encourage any listener... to please refer to almost anything as being arse-raped.
You have to type it A-R-S-E as well.
That's right. Yeah, don't half-ass it here, people. Yeah. That is awesome. And I didn't even think of that, Brian. Think about when you were a kid and you went up to Niagara Falls, how cool it was that you gave them a dollar and they gave you like a buck and a quarter. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, this just sucks when you got to go back.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You trade it in, you're like, oh.
It all works out in the end.
I know. But that's really cool.
It just stretches a little bit further in Vegas if you're coming from Australia now.
Yeah, that's really cool that people are taking advantage of the shit dollar right now.
Yeah, yep.
So thanks for that, Andrew. As a reminder, Andrew just joined Twitter. He can be found at MIFFO34. And he was also our Twit Pick of the Week winner. So Andrew is kind of the star of episode 15, Brian.
Yes, he was. He stole the show.
Damn right.
Yeah, and he did say a lot of other things in his message.
A lot of good stuff. But we're not sharing all that with you, okay? We're not a fucking open book, people.
It's fucking
right?
Privileged information.
That's right. That's right. We're in the inner circle, bitches.
And then the other piece of feedback that we received is from one of our listeners over in Moscow. His name is Stuart. And Stuart did send this to us a little while ago, but with all the news and all the information that we brought back from our trip, we just kind of had to postpone it for a later time, but we certainly really appreciated it. I've read this email a few times, but...
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'll read a couple of chunks of it here for you. Hi, guys. Thought I would email some thoughts and comments. It's amazing how quickly I have come to look forward to my weekly dose of Vegas via your podcast. It feels like you both put a lot of work and effort into it. It's really appreciated. And Mark, can you bottle and sell your laughter? It's the best happiness pill yet.
We are trying.
Yeah, Mark's trying. I'm not.
We want to subsidize it so we can branch out, and this can be my primary job. But so far, I'm not going to lie to you. We failed. So you're just going to have to listen to the show weekly until we can figure it out.
Yeah, back to the email.
Instead of my awful shit joke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Regarding your... No one's laughing.
No one. I'm not laughing, Brian. That was a pity laugh that I just did there, and I'm ashamed of myself for it.
Regarding your comment about Bellagio, I guess there are two kinds of repeat visitors to Vegas. And he puts in parentheses, I have been well over 30 times since my first visit in 1992.
Fucking
I've lived in
bragger.
New York for a... What's that?
He's a fucking bragger.
I lived in New York for a time, so I could do a few trips a year, but after going back to London and now Moscow, it's a little harder, understandably so.
Right.
And especially with the jet lag. I guess one kind of person sticks to the tried and tested. Favorite hotels, favorite restaurants, favorite casinos, etc. And when anything changes, they feel put out, especially given how much some people live by gambling good luck charms. So if visiting Bellagio is on their tried and tested list, Any change in room decor could destroy the charm or the feeling for him, kind of like losing an old friend. Yeah, that's an interesting point. And if you guys recall a few episodes ago, we did discuss some thoughts that we had on the changes in room decor at the Bellagio. And that makes sense from that perspective.
It's a great point, which I had never even thought of, that even though it doesn't really... And I think it was really just more of a... it seems like Bellagio is always talked about, and it's never been a place that I've found interesting, but, you know, I've always respected it for what it is, and everyone was getting kind of fussy about it, but, you know, all the changes they were making, and that makes total sense. I mean, if they started making changes to the property that I love, now I'm not nearly as superstitious as some people, but it's a great point. You know, if you are superstitious and Bellagio has always been great to you, and now they're changing it up, or even if it's just your favorite place, I mean, you know, imagine anything that you love making radical changes that you don't love. You know, it's, I totally get where he's coming from. Really appreciate the feedback from Stuart and from Andrew. Love having interaction with any of the listeners, and really, really do encourage any and all communications with us, whether it be via Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever. And that's going to do it for the show.
If you would like to reach out to us, which we would encourage you to do so, you may do so via email. Our email is 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Visit the blog for any and all links for any of the pieces of news or information that we discussed in the show. That's 360vegaspodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/360vegas. And on Facebook, that's facebook.com/360vegas. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yep. See you next week.
Oh, come on. A little bit more enthusiasm.
See you next week.
Fucker. I hate you.
I don't know what you want from me, Brian. See you next week. See you next week.
It was flat.
It was flat.
It was flat.
Was it? Yep. See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.